Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
I herald his beginning. I herald your end. I herald. Galactus.
Hello. Welcome back to A Star Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello. Hello. While I did that, I forgot we were recording video. And I gotta look.
We gotta look up. So yeah, if you didn't catch the drift, we have pivoted from our previously planned episode type. We were going to do a character study on Riri Williams, that is my bad.
I threw a wrench in our formula.
It's not even a bad. It's just the schedule thing conflict. Yeah. It's not even a conflict. We just had to mix it up a little bit. So to buy us some time for the research and everything that goes into our character studies, we flipped our two episodes and we're bringing you this mini Marvel ahead of the game, which we're going to undoubtedly pretty much talk about Fantastic Four.
Yes.
But before we get to that,
yes,
you can indeed see this episode on YouTube. So please head to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, do all the good things. And also, we now have ads on our episodes, so...
And we have no idea what ads they are.
And it is a shuffle, so if you're getting some weird stuff, I'm so sorry, but if you would like to access ad-free episodes, you can support us for as low as $1 a month on Patreon.
Yeah!
So, yeah, all the things are happening. We're feeling good about it, but... So before we get into our Fantastic Four talk...
Yes.
San Diego Comic-Con happened.
Yes.
A blur.
How, yeah. How,
I worked more than I expected to.
Did you really?
I did. And oh, no. So it was helping my friend Kim Joy, who was one of the Great British Bake Off finalists from a couple of years ago. She won 2024.
Whoa.
Yeah, New Year's. And so she has got a number of books, and her popularity is growing because she's kind of branching out. And so anyway, I stepped in to help a few times, and so I'd help them in the morning.
Okay.
And prepare stuff. And so I did a little more work. It's okay. Because the studios didn't come. So the agenda was gone.
Yeah. At least from what, like, when I was keeping up on social media,
yeah,
the only big panels I saw were
Tron,
DC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then sprinkles in between. That's about it.
Yeah, there was nothing super duper major. George Lucas did show up.
And I did not know that was going to be his first appearance.
His first appearance ever, which is incredible because Comic-Con has been happening for decades.
Yes, obviously.
But he did come to talk about everything but the obvious. And so they are opening a rival museum next to mine called the Lucas Museum. And so it was kind of part of their...
Oh, in
yes,
here in LA?
In LA, yeah. And whoa. So it's going to be the Museum of Narrative Storytelling or something. So it's not a Star Wars museum, but obviously it will have some elements, but it is more about George's like life's body's work.
Got it.
Type of
That's
thing.
Cool.
So yeah, that was kind of awesome. So he was truly the biggest part of it. But beside the fact, you know, it was a great time. A few friends of mine won some Eisners, which is huge. That's basically the Oscar of comics. Yeah. So congrats to Michael and Lisa and Liana. I think I'm sure there's a bunch more, but I can't remember who all won, but it was for a Godzilla book, which is pretty awesome. And then, so as far as Marvel is concerned, I mentioned in our previous episode, I was like, my prediction is going to be it's Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts. I was right. So the actual indoor activation, you can see it on our Instagram, our social media. It was 99.9% Fantastic Four. So they had the costumes, the facade was all retro fitted, and it had Easter eggs all over it. They had a Canva station where you had to do like a scan QR code. There was hundreds of people making these Canva bags. Like,
whoa.
If you signed in at like 12 in the afternoon, you probably wouldn't be back till about 5 p.m. That's how many people were doing it.
Okay.
And so I made one, and it's pretty basic. It's nothing too flashy, but you can see it here. It has the Fantastic Four, and I put Sue in the middle because... why not?
Yes.
And I just made some small tweaks from their template.
That looks cool.
Right? And then it just has a nice little Canvet Marvel San Diego 2025.
Wow. Love brand activations.
I know. I love it. Well, they did it at D23 as well. And it was just kind of like anything that was Disney, Marvel, Star Wars.
You could
plop on it.
Okay.
But I really loved this one because you also got this snazzy Baxter Building
poster. Cool.
Retrofitted, and then a handy dandy free 3-month trial.
Oh, nice.
Of Canva.
Of Canva.
As well. And so that was pretty cool. This is actually everything I got from Comic-Con.
Wow.
For the record.
Wow.
I bought like 3 other things, and they're in my bedroom, but it was a Last of Us backpack,
yeah,
a Labubu, and a little panda.
Of course.
I got the tempura Labubu. Mm. But aside that, the Marvel booth itself, they typically don't give as much or sell as much as they used to.
Mm.
So I did get this poster from this series that they're officially now in the marketing promotion for. I might actually give this away because and it's also in kind of bad shape. But Eyes of Wakanda, signed by, I believe, one of the concept artists.
If nice.
Not the director, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is signed. It's really cool. Some key art. And they didn't give that much away. But I did want to show you these, Jeff. So as I mentioned, I did predict that Thunderbolts was also going to have presence.
Of course.
And it was the truck. The truck with the froyo.
Yes. Okay.
Was outside. And so they gave me my due and rewarded me handsomely with almost everything they had because I was a fan.
Of course.
Because I was wearing that crazy Bucky Barnes shirt. Oh. the one that looks like your Hans Zimmer one. I have a Bucky Barnes one.
A collage, basically.
And it's an official one. And they were like, oh, nice shirt. I was like, yeah, thanks. Yeah. So
you're a fan?
Yeah, basically. So they gave me this Thunderbolts, the new Avengers t-shirt.
That's
promoting.
Cool.
Of course, it's
yeah,
on
yeah. I love a plain tee.
I know, a plain black tee. And then they also gave me the matching hat. So I have the hat as well. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll take my Thunderbolts. It's all good. They gave me some stickers.
I'm actually jealous of the hat. It's a really cool hat.
Yeah, it's pretty solid, right? And then, of course, at the booth itself, I mean, you can take one of these, Jeff, but they were given free Fantastic Four buttons. So I got a couple of those.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, badges.
I still have the pin, obviously.
Your pin is still better, I think.
Yeah.
And they were selling some pins. Speaking of, I did not get... they had a fort load of Scotty Young stuff. But I picked up Herbie, who is a Marvel Plus, a Limited Plus exclusive. So you couldn't get this
anywhere else.
Yeah, unless you were part of that club that Marvel has. Had to get these. What do they call them?
Magnets?
Comic
Pins?
Corner art.
Oh, okay. So it's sorry.
This is where you guess the price.
Got it.
So they've never done this before. I thought
that's
that was
cool.
Slick.
Wow, it's actually really cool.
I know. And then, of course... it's Jeff!
Oh, that is a pose right there.
It's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. Bucky Barnes, you're going to play now, huh? And so, yeah, I got Jeff from Marvel Rivals. And in true form, my buddy, 100% Soft.
Yes, that's right.
Released some exclusives for Comic-Con. And I only got the Thunderbolts ones. So he gave me Yelena with the guinea pig. And the Void.
And the Void.
And the Void.
Oh,
and so he released a bunch of Fantastic Four ones. I couldn't, I was so overwhelmed. I was like, I can't look at all this stuff. It's making me anxious.
Too much.
It was too much. And so I just got my faves. But the top creme de la creme of the trip was that every year at San Diego Comic-Con, mm-hmm. if you donate blood, you typically get a Marvel shirt of some sort.
Yeah.
And it's in conjunction with the San Diego Blood Bank, which is awesome. And so this year, who else would it be than the Fantastic Four?
Damn, that's a cool shirt too.
So it's, and it's on Heather Blue, which I like. Yeah, it wasn't just a flat blue.
Bluer, yeah. Like, oh, it's Heather. Okay.
Yeah, so they gave these for free if you tried or did successfully donate blood, and it's got all the good stuff on it. So all my favorite stuff
is
free.
Honestly, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was all free. And so I came out pretty good. I didn't spend that much at all, and I think the backpack was the most expensive. But it was a good trip all around. Should I stop him?
I don't think you can stop him.
If I had to pull it away.
Sure.
Okay.
Well,
he hasn't
played with it in 2 days yet. It's always the one time. He said the audacity.
Yeah, so it's a good time at San Diego.
Honestly, that hat is really cool. Damn. I would wear the hell out of that.
Right, and it doesn't have anything else on it. I wish they put a little asterisk or something.
Sure.
But
I love a neutral, just black hat, because I could wear that with anything.
And so, yeah, they had the Wheaties box to take pictures in.
Nice.
And then at the booth, they had Herbie. Herbie!
You met a celebrity.
I met a celebrity. And what kills me is that they didn't take video, and he's fully functional.
Yeah.
So I was like, why are they taking pictures when he's literally sitting there going... Yeah, and he's talking. And
did he sing?
No, he didn't sing the Franken's Lullaby. I know. Can't get it all, Jeff. But he, too, was like the Canva bags that you had to sign up really quick. His was a little faster, obviously, because it's just a picture.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you didn't sign up at, like... I showed you that screenshot. I was 670,
76 or 86.
Yeah, in line. And that was when I signed up at, like, 1 p.m. or something. It was way too late. I was like,
people love them some Herbie.
Exactly. So, and I got the shirt. Supporting the comic book.
It's actually a lot of cool. That's a good haul.
Yeah. I was like, a nice, modest, neutral haul.
Yeah.
That isn't too crazy. Yeah. So I'm down. I was like, okay, cool. This is a good Comic-Con haul. And I got a digital copy of Thunderbolts from the truck.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
They gave me that as well. So it was a good time. Definitely, it would have been nicer with more friends that were around. Like, I had a bunch of friends there, but we're all over the place.
In different places.
And they're all different friend groups.
Got it.
Yeah. Even Steven was there.
Oh.
Like, I never saw him, which is crazy. Because it's so big.
It's huge,
so fast.
Huh?
Yeah, it's huge.
Oh,
it's...
side note on before I move from Comic-Con. Obviously, I was in San Diego for a different reason. A more chaotic, chaotic, but a more alcoholic, sure.
Alcohol.
We ended up in Gaslamp.
Oh, you did? See?
So, side tangent.
Oh, man.
It was a bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. I was with the bachelors, and we had originally planned to go to Pacific Beach instead.
Yes.
But then I think we made a mistake. Like, we inputted a bar. There's also a
Gaslamp.
It's also location. They also have one in Gaslamp. And then as we were getting closer, we all got out, and we're like, I think we're in Gaslamp.
I said this too.
And I was like, and then he was like, the guy who, one of the groomsmen, he was like leading the charge of the bachelor week. And he was like, yeah, I think I messed up.
And then
this wasn't planned, but the bachelorette party was also there.
Oh.
And so we were like, so we all met up.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a great time.
That's cool.
But,
the streets were probably.
But yes, we got out. And then we were walking down to the bar, mm-hmm. and I was like, Oh yeah, Comic Con's this weekend. Cause so like we were walking, like we're kind of like dressed up,
yeah,
like you know, in going out gear. But then all of a sudden you see like a Princess Peach come down the way,
yeah,
and then you're like, oh, yeah, it's Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We might have to get the ball.
Okay, Buck, bring ball. Bring. He's gonna be like, okay, throw, and I'm gonna be like, no.
No. So as a bachelor party is like walking down,
yeah,
you just see a bunch of cosplayers and you're like, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a nice sight to see.
Little crossover.
Yeah, even when we went to a bar, like a country bar.
Yeah.
And they do this thing where you can get in a chair and they spin you and they pour you a shot, mm-hmm, whatever.
Oh, sounds dangerous.
Even they were like dressed up. I forget what character, but they were dressed up.
Yeah, they go full out, man.
And
I was like,
wow, what a crossover,
yeah,
of worlds.
In that one, I forgot the exact statistic, but it obviously brings billions in tourism to,
yes,
San Diego in just 1 week.
Yes.
But in, I think I heard somebody at Spaghetti Factory say that in those 4.5 days, it pays for their rent for the entire year. That's how much they make. Yeah, they make
just in
so
that weekend.
Much money. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Poison Ivy line dancing. It was
probably
cool.
Probably.
Wow, I didn't know. I knew it was a big weekend,
it's
but I didn't know
huge.
It was. I didn't know it was that big.
That's why San Diego's like it can't leave, because if it leaves, the revenue
all the businesses,
is gone.
Yeah.
And so they depend on it. They depend on that because then the rest of the year they're coasting. They're good.
Yeah. Whatever they make is like, you know,
bonus.
Just, it helps them, yes.
Exactly.
And in so, profit, in profits.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's wild. It's, and so I can't imagine. I don't know when the contract ends again, because they had to renew to keep it in San Diego.
Okay.
So I think it ends in like maybe 2030, maybe in 2028.
No, you got to keep renewing that.
Yeah. And so they're going to have to keep fighting Anaheim and Las Vegas.
Because it used to be in Anaheim, right?
No, it's never been here.
Oh,
it's always been San Diego.
Okay.
And so WonderCon comes here. Which is a smart idea because it used to be up north. It used to be in San Francisco or something. And so they just brought it down here permanently.
Yeah.
And so it's the sister con away from home that's in the midway point.
Got it.
So
okay.
So spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're trying to keep it centralized, but...
No, I think
it's
keep
good
it
there.
In San Diego.
Yeah,
man.
I think it's
yeah. If it helps them boom, then
yeah,
keep it there.
I'm trying to think of it in Vegas, and I'm like, whoa.
Vegas has enough.
Yeah, they have enough. It's a lot messier, even if it's bigger.
And the traffic would be even exponentially
be terrible.
More horrible.
No, I don't want any of that. They need to keep it in San Diego.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I agree.
Good time for you. Good time for me. And so from there, we'll go ahead and move on to our next topic, the big topic. And so Jeff and I saw it at the same time, just in different places.
No, I think we literally did
we saw
at the
same
exact
9:15,
same
right?
time. Yeah.
Yeah, 9:15.
Like we
yeah.
were on the same trajectory
yeah.
of what 100%. We were seeing.
Yeah, 100%.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then speaking of 100%, I got to see it last minute. I was taking a nap. Because I was so winded, right? That I was like, okay, I'm going to just take a quick nap before I go see this movie.
Yeah.
And then 100% Soft texts me. He's like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, napping, but I think I'm about to go see Fantastic Four. And he goes, give me a ticket. I'll come with you. I was like, all right. And so I have somebody to go with now. And so he came with me. And so he got to be my movie
buddy.
Was this the group? The group one was Superman.
Oh, okay.
Why? What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was going solo for
That's
Fantastic
right.
Four.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I went with him and it was fun because he has already, by this point, obviously seen parts of it because he needed to base designs off of elements in the film.
Okay. Yes.
So it was cool to see it with him because he would react to things differently and be like,
yes.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah. So Fantastic Four just dropped by the time this episode comes out. 2 weeks ago, directed by Matt Shakman, and on IMDb, 7.5 out of 10 rating. And it's currently, as of this recording, number 2 on the popularity scale, up from number 8. Number 1 is Happy Gilmore. 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore 2.
I couldn't even blame him. And then as for Rotten Tomatoes, 87% on tomato meter, 93% popcorn meter.
Yeah.
And then on Letterboxd, 3.6 out of 5-star rating. And of course, our wonderful Iman Vellani left her review.
Yep.
And it says, "Praise be, at long last, my big hungry boy has been liberated from cloud purgatory. Man's got limbs, a torso, an appetite. What a time to be alive."
She knows ball.
She knows, man.
She knows ball.
And I love that they're like in character as much as they're not in character at all. It's just Iman Vellani as much as it is Kamala Khan.
Exactly. I agree.
It's so great. And so, first up, thoughts, because this was your big movie, because, you know, Fantastic Four came back.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, can we ban 25-minute ads before a movie plays?
Oh, man, that was killer.
I get why they need to play the ads, because they need the money, but I'm also like, there was a guy next to me. It was so funny. Like, obviously, ads played, the trailers played, and then the countdown played.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, the countdown played, and then another...
Yeah.
I had a play and he was like, brother. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, there is a lot of ads.
And it's noticeable. I think they pumped it up, right? Because.
Yeah.
And it was right as they dropped that little notation.
Yeah.
The minute they dropped that notation, it felt like they tacked on 2 or 3 more. Yeah. And I was like, oh, come on.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, we got the Nicole Kidman and then 2 more. I was like, wait, this isn't right.
I was like, come on. I was like, okay, but. Yes, I personally loved the movie.
Yes.
I wonder if I say that for every movie that I've seen, but this one felt immediately fresh.
Yes.
Fresh, brand new. Mm-hmm. There was a point where I forgot why I was watching an MCU movie.
Really?
I was like, just
what does that mean exactly?
I think not worrying about like...
Connection,
like, oh, where is this taking place? Yeah. How is this taking place? Like, in what year is this taking place? Sure. It was kind of just like, obviously, we know it's its own world, its own universe. Mm-hmm. It starts off with, how did the movie start off again?
They were already established.
They're established.
And they were appearing on the show.
And I think within the first 20 minutes, you, at least for me, you immediately just understood the dynamic.
Yeah.
Between all four of them.
Oh, very quickly.
Who they were. I mean, we can go through it linearly if we want to. And we want to hit certain touch points. But what about you? What were your first initial thoughts?
Because, you know, like from the get, when they announced at last year's Comic-Con that it was going to be a retrofitted film.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect scenario.
What's it called? Retrofuturistic?
Retrofuturistic, yeah. And so when they announced that bit, I was like, mind blown. I was like, there's no better way.
Yes.
There really is no better way.
Yeah.
Unless you took the entire MCU and made it take place in that era.
Yeah.
There was no perfect way. And so that, the minute it started, I was already like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Because it fits so perfectly. Because it was indeed, like, you didn't feel like, you felt like, you know, it's in a Marvel movie. You know that this is part of that grander universe, but it was so unique and standalone. And you were so focused on them and their world and what they've established in 4 years.
Yes.
And, you know, that's cute. 4 years. And then the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And so the introductions of the characters and, like, the fact that if you think about it, you don't see Ben Grimm in his human form much at all.
Only in flashbacks.
And it's kind of neat because I almost expected the opposite. I was like, oh, they're going to milk him for all he's worth and show his face most of this movie and you don't get him. But it's the opposite.
But I think that's like the beauty of Eben. Like his voice gives...
Oh, it's so good.
Gives Ben Grimm the thing as...
Yeah.
It just adds so much to his character, even
it's
just
great.
His voice.
Oh, I loved him so much. And what I've told people, because, you know, the post Comic-Con question now is like, they go, how was Comic-Con? And also, how was Fantastic Four?
Mm.
And my first thing is that I'm like, fear not, it is not a Pedro Pascal film.
I know.
It is very much a Fantastic Four film.
It is a family.
Because each one of those players is exceptional, including Galactus. and Silver Surfer. They're all fantastic. Like, I know
what?
I'm gonna
say that again.
Fantastic. You just memed me. But yeah, I thought it was really great. And then I love that, you know, and I know we like briefly talked about it with Superman and how like it was so great that he had the way that James Gunn did it was he introduced that title, those title cards of 3333333, etc., right? Explaining that it was about 3 years, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever it was. In Fantastic Four, they almost do the same thing, but they don't say anything. They just say, like, the Fantastic Four has been over the last 4 years.
4 years ago, they came up to the, they went to the space, and they came down with the totally changed.
Yes, exactly. And I appreciated that, because that's the perfect context for that situation. And showing the reels, the news reels, and then that's it. And then you're boom, boom, boom. Yeah. You're in the present tense. They're having a baby.
Yeah.
I'd love, and immediately, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, chemistry is palpable. This is amazing.
Yeah. I think, well, one, to whoever said when the cast first got announced, who wasn't going to work, you were incredibly wrong.
Dead wrong.
Yeah.
Dead wrong.
Pedro's in everything. God. Yeah, and there's a reason.
This is also true.
There's a reason.
It's also true because he's incredible. He's an incredible character actor, and I think people forget that because they just see the interviews and they just see Pedro Pascal as a person.
Yeah.
But each one of the roles that he has taken on this year alone, maybe in the last 2 years, they've all been very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Joel and Reed are very different characters.
Like I have something to say about every single character individually in this movie and like how they played them.
Yeah. 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 Go for
it,
dude.
I guess we can start with, we'll start with Ben.
Okay.
Like I said earlier.
Ben Grimm.
Eben's voice adds so much.
Yeah.
Like texture to him and
in Demon Then when people first heard it they still complained they're like he doesn't sound exactly and it's like almost like what are you basing your opinion on if you're so he doesn't sound like him but he made it his own
he
100%
even when he said his iconic quote his line I'm like he just added so much. But what I also like about this movie, and it was pointed out also on Twitter, these people are all smart. Like, these are all very smart space explorers, scientists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I love Ben. I love what Eben brought, you know, to the thing.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think I'm the most underrated character in the movie.
I agree.
Like, so I forget that. So my basic, because I haven't seen the 2015 version of Fantastic Four.
Oh, that's right.
But the earlier 2000s of Chris Evans playing, mostly in those two movies, he came off as like pretty boy. Mm-hmm. He knows he's handsome, and he was a womanizer,
very
whatever,
archetype,
you know? which is part half true for sure.
Yeah.
But then I forget that in this one, like yes, he's the same. Like he knows he's like pretty and. You know, he falls in love with women. And I was like, I think we had a connection, but it's mostly just like, because I saw myself in her in the Silver Surfer. You forget that he's smart.
Yeah.
So when he translated Shala Ball's language, I was genuinely like, oh, my God. Like, he is very smart.
It's very interesting, right? So very quickly, just to backtrack with Ben Grimm very quickly, is that...
Yeah.
What I appreciated also in comparison, like to your point, comparison to the early 2000s films is that those films felt like very heavy on like he's lamenting and depressed about his appearance.
Yes.
And it's gonna change his entire mood for most of these movies.
Yes.
This one, they didn't do it too hard. Like you can obviously tell it's affected him, but he's also making the most of it.
Yes.
He's getting his black and white cookies. He's walking down the street. He's saying hi to kids. He's lifting the car.
He's trying to build a relationship with Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah. As Rachel Rosman. Yeah. And so I loved that they did that. And they also, again, it's a big contribution of Ebbins that he humanized him in a way that hadn't been quite there before.
Yeah.
And it's very true to that character. And then as for Johnny, same thing. Like you mentioned, you know, there is this very surface level, shallow, materialistic, vain identity that Johnny Storm is because he's a handsome young man.
Yeah.
He's got game with the girls for days.
Witty.
Before and after.
As the kids say, he has riz.
He's got riz.
Jeez. God.
And so, yeah, as much as I loved Chris Evans before, he didn't have quite the same intellectual, like, nuance that Joseph
Quinn.
He wasn't able to flaunt that in the original Fantastic Four. Yeah, and I think he had, like, a couple of opportunities at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't think he successfully did any of that. Not to this degree. Like, Johnny quite literally helps save the day.
No, yeah, because you're kind of like, okay, like, how are we going to handle this Silver Surfer situation?
Exactly.
How are we, you know, but then...
Yeah.
Once he figured out like that he could understand and learn how to speak in that language too.
Exactly.
Which is crazy. Which is also a good testament to him being very smart and also like a charmer.
Exactly. Well, that's what I liked about this and you know, I hate doing this because I always do this now because it's my baby, but in Thunderbolts, something that Jake said is that no, Yelena's motivation with Bob isn't romantic.
Yeah.
It's very genuine. And I was like, God bless. But I was also like, but that made sense. Like, I'm glad he said that because I think people need to hear that.
Yeah.
It's not a motivation for her. It's her just being the good person that
she
believes.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas with Fantastic Four, part of Johnny's motivation is that he's into her.
Yeah.
but it's making him a better person.
Yeah.
And it made him a better person. And it showcased that he was more than just a pretty boy.
Yeah.
That he actually does have a brain in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's determined and he's not afraid to speak up and ask for things and, you know, show his worth.
Yes.
And so that's why I was like, this is a solid, like, four pillar movie. It's not just a Pedro Pascal with three people.
Yeah.
But
moving to the next pillar.
Yeah.
And I want to go with Reed first.
Okay.
Because I want to end with Mother.
Mother!
I love
her.
What I loved about, well, one, Pedro Pascal can literally play any character.
Truly.
I love how he totally, I think he understood Reed.
Oh, I think so too.
But what I loved, and I caught myself watching the movie too, what I loved about Reed in this one was, I think it was that argument that he and Sue had of like, how are we going to defeat, you know, Galactus? And, you know, and I think Reed is one of the smartest people in the world, universe.
Yeah.
So I forget what part it was where he was talking about, he's like, no, it's not magic. Like, no, everything, there's a logic to it. Like, it is my job to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he can't figure out fatherhood.
It's like Johnny said, you're out of your depth.
He's
not even.
And like, that was my favorite thing. It's like, this is the smartest man in the world.
Yeah.
But he cannot figure out how to be a father.
And they front load that for us. Because the first time we see them in present time, Sue is looking at the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And he's looking for something and he can't find it.
He's like, where
and
is it?
And she's like, babe, it's not there.
It's like, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, exactly. And he's still doing it. Yeah. And so it's reflected very well later in the film.
Yeah. So that journey of him being a father and like where I clocked it was him running tests on Sue while she's pregnant. Like, nope, there's no anomalies. Like, he's not going to be like us. Like, no, no way.
Yeah.
And then it lends to, and then at the end of the movie, he's like, whenever you're ready to tell me what you want,
I'd love that.
I'll listen to you.
I know.
And I was like, there it is. Like, that's, you know.
He had his own growth moment. So good.
But yeah, I just loved how like, the progression of him, even on the chalkboard, he always had an equation for everything. And then there was a point where he was like, I don't know what to do. And he can't figure out an equation because he knew that the only way that they could win is by using Franklin as bait. Which then we can move on to the next pillar of Sue.
Ugh.
I mean, I think she did personally. I think she carried
this film.
As much as the family did as a four.
No, I love it.
But holy crap, Vanessa Kirby.
You saw that clip where the interview of her being interviewed by a female interviewer.
Yes.
It's Rebecca Bucky Barnes
and nice.
that she was like, I just wanted to say that this feels like a Sue very becoming her own very independent woman and showcasing that she's like the forefront of this family. And like, I don't remember what she said. I'm botching it completely, yeah. But it touched Vanessa so much that she was like, oh my God, I'm so, thank you for saying that. That's so sweet. And now I see it. Cause I saw that clip and this is why I don't like seeing stuff before I see it because I was like, oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what she means, but that sounds really nice. Yeah. And so after I saw the film, I was like, hot damn, that was right. Because yeah. Sue carried the hell out of this movie.
Yeah, what did you like about this portrayal of Sue?
Oh my God. Gripping. She's beautiful. She's obviously very smart. But I also appreciated the fact that they didn't dumb her down in any way. Not that they did with the previous versions.
Yeah.
But everything is believable to me in this film. As fantastical as it is. Stop. As fantastical as it is, it's gonna happen. It's like us in Spider-Man and saying amazing. Like, as you know, retrofuturistic, as you know, the space, the planet eating creature coming from space. Like,
yeah.
All of this is crazy talk. Yeah. But they were so good at what they were doing. I was like, I'm locked in. I believe this woman used to be an actress and now she's just an intelligent woman that is a doctor. That is pursuing the best for the planet.
Yeah, the chemistry between all four is insane.
Yeah, and I believe that they were siblings. I believe yes. They were 100% married. I was yes. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that she was very much supportive of Ben, and they all had it locked in. All
yeah.
of them had it locked in. And so this Sue is, she's not even OP to me. I was like, that's Susan Storm.
Yeah.
That's Susan Storm.
Yeah.
As I kiss my mic in excitement, she's 100% like that character. And I loved how they displayed her powers and it didn't make her seem weak or silly at all. Like,
yeah.
That's a testament of the 2000s. Sure. Yeah. Whatever. But the way that they just also gave it this like hue of like a bubble, like yes. a literal bubble.
Yeah.
And you see the prisms on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all the little things. And so she commanded the film, and you could just tell.
Yeah, I have.
Them all.
I have three favorite scenes.
Yeah.
The first one being the argument with Reed.
Oof, that was tension.
Dude, that line that she said, I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to see it again.
Where she was like, where Reed says, he was like, it's my job to find out the worst possible outcome so that I can prevent that from happening to my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just who I am.
Yeah.
And then she says, you being you sometimes hurts me.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, damn.
Hurts us.
That's good. Hurts. Yeah.
Hurts
and then,
us? Yeah. I don't know.
And then the second scene is the monologue she did to the picketing crowd outside the Baxter building.
The mother.
Because usually, now I think about it, like sometimes those kinds of scenes can be very corny or the moment gets ruined, like where she's making a scene and everyone's listening to her and then there might be someone that says like, whatever, like, you're gonna kill us.
Yeah.
But I love that they just let her
talk. Yeah, yeah.
They let her talk and she's like, I will not sacrifice my child for this world, but I will not sacrifice this world for my child.
I was like,
damn. And then when it comes back to the audience being like, you know what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe these four will save us.
And it was all that they needed to hear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, in this media speculation that is the media, like immediately people are like, oh, well, they're going to save the child and not the rest of us. So that's cool.
But her
just saying those two sentences changed the course of the entire film.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it got everybody on their side. And
she
was brilliant. But I absolutely love her. And again, I'm not even that familiar with her work. I've only seen two or three of her movies.
Yeah.
But I think she's so good as Sue.
She's great.
Like, perfect as
Sue. Yeah, I know her more from, like, the Mission Impossible movie. Wait, is it Mission Impossible?
Mission Impossible. Yeah.
And then the third scene is her back-breaking scene, where she is exerting all of her power.
That was
Someone said on Twitter is like, Matt Shakman really knows how to direct, like, women with who like use all their fours because Wanda in WandaVision, and then Sue just using everything in her power to push Galactus,
which is crazy because in hindsight you look at that trailer and you're just like, you just see her doing the thing, and then you're like, oh, what is she, who is she fighting, and then you see the film and you're like, oh, she's fighting Galactus, she's literally pushing him away,
trying, using all of her force.
And also, I appreciate, I mean, obviously this is a spoiler alert and this is a spoiler episode. If you haven't learned by now, you better not listen anymore. But the fact that they paid off and they killed her. They killed her!
They technically did.
I was like, oh, shit.
And it was long. I think it could be like a 50-50 take of like, maybe they dragged that. Like, is she dead? But it was long enough to the point where I was like, oh, did they really kill her? Like, she might be dead. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Franklin's like, yo, where's my mom
He's
at?
He's like, mommy. I know. That's what actually brought me back to it. I was like, oh, wait.
Franklin. I was like, oh,
Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think she killed it. Yeah. This dynamic. I'm so excited to see them interact with other Avengers. Can we talk about Act Two? Okay. The space chase.
The space chase was intense.
From they go to meet Galactus.
Yes. Oh, man.
Dude, Galactus looks so sick in IMAX.
I know. I haven't seen it in IMAX yet, so that's why I'm like, I need to go see it.
Oh, my God.
I think we're going to see it this Friday.
He looks insane.
So the fact that we went from a cloud to a literal translation of what Jack Kirby's artwork was like with all the mechanisms and the gears and stuff.
Yeah,
and
the eyes.
The fine details. Yes, even the eyes just changing. I was like, this is actually insane.
Yeah.
That they were so true to it. And yet, it still fits seamlessly in the greater MCU.
Yeah, because he's
looks like the rest of these eternal-sized people. Like,
you couldn't tell. I mean,
celestial-sized people.
That guy is, what, was it 14 million years old? 14 billion years old?
Like, yeah, he's as old as time itself, really.
But yeah, when that space chase, the black hole.
Incredible. Yeah.
Like, one, what I loved about the scene is all the stakes that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I love how each moment carried into the next one.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we need to escape here. It was like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, hey, we don't have enough fuel to get back. Like, what can we do? He's like, and then Reed's like, let's go to a black hole really quick.
I know.
We could lose her in the black hole.
Yeah. What the? I swear.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Even the moments in between.
Yeah.
Like, and also Sue's literally about to give birth.
Yeah.
Because Galactus.
That's so nuts to me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he just straight up made. He like, I forgot what the word is called.
He was like,
called.
Give me your child now. And you're like, that's weird. Like, I didn't know we could do that.
Oh, the water broke.
Yeah.
He induced her. He induced her.
The dynamics of everybody, all that scene where it's like, Ben, get us out of here.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny, kill her. Kill her? Are you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
She's trying to kidnap your nephew. Yes, kill her. All right.
The K word. I didn't expect that. And also another thing of like, Ben's not there just to be hefty.
No,
and punch
things. Like, he's smart.
He's
the best pilot.
He's still the best pilot, even despite his rock hands. Just the fact that they go from 0 to 180 in a very natural way that is very real again. And so for them to be like, yeah, kill her.
Johnny.
He's like, Johnny.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And so that, again, the dynamic between Johnny and Shala is also very interesting.
It's so
which,
fun.
For the record, like, I mean, like, we can talk about Galactus and Shala, like, you know, like, parallel to one another. But my God, I was hoping they would have a human flashback for her. And they actually gave it out.
That was so jarring to me. Not in a bad way, but more of like, oh, we're getting her backstory. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
And it's all we needed. It was so short, but it was brief.
It was worth
it. But
like,
it was
made
perfect.
Sense.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a, oh, like you are his herald because you're
spared
trying to,
your planet.
You spared your planet.
Yeah, exactly.
And
loved it.
Great connector.
Great.
Like a great like way to be able to relate. You know?
And Julia Garner is a powerhouse. Like, everything that I have seen that woman in, fantastic.
I'm hesitant to watch this, her new movie, but because it's a horror movie, but I saw a clip from it and it is so good.
Really?
It's a side tangent, but the clip that's in it, it's so funny because it's Julia Gardner, it's Josh Brolin, and there's Wong. Benedict Wong.
What is happening?
And so in the comments it says, it's like, oh wow, so Silver Surfer, Thanos, and Wong are just in a scene together.
Sure, that's funny. Which movie is it?
It's called Weapons.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. I saw a rating of it already.
Yeah, and the trailer is scary as hell.
Oh, I can't wait.
So
ready.
But yeah, she is great.
So good. And like you said in the beginning about the actors being announced, same message to the people that are like, Silver Surfer isn't a girl. Like, shut up.
And also, yeah,
she was great.
I mean, you don't expect people to know like the comic lore.
Of course.
But it's also just like, it's not like it's a completely made up new.
Exactly. She exists in the comic world. And also, it's not like they took the original Silver Surfer and went, let's just make a girl version.
Yes.
Like, it's not what
There's
an actual purpose and a character and. She stands alone and
You know, so but also I mean we could talk about like later about like what's next but all we know is she helped them get rid of put Galactus on the ends of the universe
with the move that she used on Johnny or at least the Fantastic Four twice which I thought was interesting.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that's the callback, right? They always have that hook of like, I can't feel you. Or whatever Vision said to Wanda and vice versa. They always, and you know, end of the line. They always have something.
Yes.
And that happened to be the one for this film.
Yeah. So
she like chucked him in the forehead.
Yeah. So I wonder now where she's going to end up. Especially her.
Yeah.
We know where the four is.
Yeah.
But her, now that she's on her own, like technically quote unquote free of Galactus. You know, being his herald, I guess.
Yeah.
But she's still stuck being the surfer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
She could go home. Maybe.
But she just won't be.
Yeah.
She just can't. She won't look like she was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God, what else? This movie had so much.
It was so great.
Mole
Man.
Which one?
We didn't talk about Mole Man.
Mole Man being the unsung hero. But I also. This is another thing I love about the movie. Because people always talk about like, oh my God, how many people are going to die? How many civilians are going to die?
Yeah.
They figured that out in like, I think it was like less than 5 minutes of screen time. It was like, hey man, can we move the people of New York to your underground city? And he was like, I don't know. What are you going to get for me? And, and it's like, boom. Like that's how they figured that out. Because they're like, well, people are just going to die.
Yeah.
And like, how many civilians died in this, when Galactus, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, well, they're all underground. They're all.
So apparently one of the deleted scenes is one of Mole Man, the reason why Mole Man trusts Sue so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we didn't get. So hopefully
we didn't get a fleshed out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it does exist. It's just on the cutting room
floor.
And then
I think there was also, I forget if it was in the news or if it was like in one of those flashbacks, they just said like, they're cool. Like Sue and him are cool.
The newsreel,
The
newsreel is like, but he's assisting because he actually trusts Sue for some reason.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And so he was portrayed by Paul Walter Hauser. And I thought he was so good. For as little as he's in it, I thought he was great.
How I found out about him, he was in this Apple TV series called Blackbird, where he played like the serial killer. And when I tell you, it's with the guy that plays, he's in Kingsman.
Mm. The main guy?
And he plays Elton John, yes.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy that everybody wants to be Logan.
I keep forgetting his name.
I forgot his name too.
I forget his name. it's horrible.
That's okay.
But he plays a serial killer and he's like a completely different person. If you have a chance to watch it, you should watch the series.
Yeah.
And then so seeing him as Mole Man, I'm like, oh, it's so funny.
I love how Sue was like, Harvey. And he's like, okay, Sue.
Come on, Susan. What are we?
Susan. They say Susan.
God.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And then, you know, what I did appreciate is that you didn't necessarily, as much as I hate saying this because he's John Malkovich, Like, you didn't necessarily miss him.
The red ghost, yes.
Yeah, as the
you
red
saw
ghost.
Reed fighting his monkeys.
Yes, that's exactly. About it. Yeah, and so the idea is that we would have seen him actually lead and rise and raise this cult.
Yes.
Against the Fantastic Four. But I think just passing it off and making it part of a splash, if you will,
yeah,
was the right move.
Yeah.
Because it was perfectly, like, nuanced with
yeah.
all the stuff happening.
Yeah. What is your take on, because this was a topic of discussion amongst social media.
Mm.
How, do you think the movie was too long, too short? Did you want more out of it?
I think it was perfect as is. I could have taken a little more. Rocket,
yeah.
Rocket agrees, if yes. you can hear him. I wouldn't have minded a few more minutes. Where? I don't know. Because again,
a lot of people are saying that maybe like Ben's story suffered from cuts a little bit. And
yeah.
I think I could agree for sure.
Because Natasha Lyonne's part was bigger initially.
Yeah.
So she's in the cutting room floor scenes as well. And they do have more of a...
But at least they're teasing that like, oh, Ben is trying to live a normal life as the Rock thingy.
The Rock thingy.
And he's like... Because like that's what I got from it. I was like, oh, he's trying to build a relationship with Natasha Lyonne's character. Because he was just, I loved that moment where she was like, oh, what are you doing here? Like, what did you want to? And he was like, well, I just came here to see you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and you're
so
just like,
sweet.
And like, I love that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Yeah.
So could there have been more? Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I agree where it's like, this told the story that it wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think everything needs to be.
Yeah.
Expositionally fleshed out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's if it tells a story, it tells a story. But you know, to each their own.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did a great job. Yeah, I think. If I had to pick something, maybe a little more of that. But I think what they breadcrumbed was great because it left enough room that you could imagine, like, oh, okay, you could surmise, oh, he is trying not only to be more open, and accepting of like who he is and how the world. Reacts to that, but also like, oh, she's showing interest in me,
maybe there is something there,
maybe, you know, cooking.
You go, Ben Grimm,
cooking, cousin. You're cooking.
So here's the thing.
I know, I love it, it's so funny, and I fall for it every time, clearly.
So here's the thing.
The ones with the movie, when it's the movie, the movie theater ones. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I love them. So good. And then, like, I don't know how long he's doing it, but the Ben Grimm that's walking around New York City is, I'm sure it's over already.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so clever. It's just him walking on the street.
Yeah.
Getting his thing on. And then they're also at Disneyland.
Yes.
So I have to go see them. But they're in Tomorrowland. They're not in...
Oh, they're not even at Avengers Campus.
They're not in Avengers Campus. They're really playing it up. Yeah,
love
so they're
that.
Still 828 technically. So I thought that was really clever, but... Ugh,
yeah, cooking. I loved...
Cooking!
I loved this movie a lot. Yeah, I was like, you know what, man?
Yeah.
It's just fresh. It's new.
Yeah.
It's starting a new path, you know, along, leading up to Doomsday and everything.
And of course, the discourse online is like, to be expected, like people are taking jabs at the rest of the phase, which is just like, just shut up. Like, you don't have to compare it. You can just say it was a great movie and then leave it.
You know, if you didn't like it, then cool, you know, but
yeah, I still think the same though. I think that of my big three for this season have been the ones in succession, not Jurassic. And that I really enjoyed Superman. I thought it was great.
I loved it.
I think Fantastic Four is a better movie.
Okay.
But Thunderbolts is still, I think, for me at least, as the broken human being I am, I still felt that was like across the board.
Yes. That was a good movie too.
Yeah. And it's still like, the fact that it and Fantastic Four are still kind of...
Yeah.
Like on each other. I'm like,
it's,
wow.
It's a good, you know, incredible. Start to this Marvel reset.
Yes.
As Feige says,
yeah.
But movie was great.
Yeah.
Are we good to talk about the mid credits, or is there anything else during the?
Yeah, we're going to give you, can we drop some elevator music real quick? But yeah, I think we can. I think we can. Ad.
Welcome to the Baxter Building, where we have dinner every Sunday at 7 p.m. o'clock, 7 o'clock on
the dot.
Every, yeah. Every Sunday.
So first for mid-credit scene, yeah. So time jump, 4 years.
4 years later.
Cheeky. Cheeky.
Do you, before we get into what is in the post mid-credit scene,
yeah.
What I do appreciate and like, it has the same, like the scene itself mm-hmm. has the same look as the Thunderbolts mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like it has like the same like, like textural, like color grading, like look.
Yeah.
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 So it feels like it's also, part of the same movie.
If you think about it, locality wise,
yeah,
it's probably the same floor.
You think?
Of the building. Yeah.
So you think...
That's possibly the
so
same...
So you think the Thunderbolts are in Earth 828?
No. Parallel. It's a parallel multiverse.
Oh.
So those two scenes are taking place, not at the same time, but in the same place. Physically in the same place.
Got it.
So Thunderbolts is obviously in the future.
Yes.
Whatever. Because it's whatever.
Got it.
Year and a half ahead.
Yeah.
And then Fantastic Four, but they're in the same, if the Baxter Building is to believe to be the tower.
God. Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry. Yes.
It's the same floor and it's the same room.
Yeah.
That these two things are taking place
in. I think just that I didn't notice until now of just like it looks the same, like color grading wise, the way that it's shot. And I was
did the Russos do that one?
They did.
See,
Matt Shakman confirmed that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, like okay, they're trying to get their consistency going again.
Yep.
But yes, 4 years later, Franklin is blonde as hell.
Yes, he is.
I was like, that is a storm if I ever seen one.
Yep. Exactly.
Reading a book, literally the smartest being in the world. Reading like, what's his favorite? Like, oh, Herbie, get his favorite book. And it was like a Darwinism book.
Evolution of evolution.
And I was like, oh, that's so funny. And then Sue comes back and we see the greenest of hoods along with the most metallic of masks and we see Dr. Doom talking to Franklin and Franklin touching Doom's face.
Well, and that's to also backtrack when Sue was talking at the UN and Latveria
I love that.
I thought that was going to be it. I honestly did. I thought that was going to be it and they weren't going to do it, but they did it and he made his
Victor on-screen. Just does not mess with Sue, man. Yeah, when I saw Latveria and that was the only seat not like empty, I was like, oh, that's so
not
good.
Occupied.
That was so good.
So
we have our first tease of Dr. Doom on screen.
And Franklin doesn't seem bothered by him.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, who is this? You know?
Yeah.
Shackman did confirm on the interview that...
Mm-hmm.
That was RDJ.
It was RDJ.
Yeah. Obviously, we never see his face, but that's RDJ playing Doom.
I mean, we better not see his face most of that movie, I just have to say. They can't let that man fly free without his mask for much of that movie.
Yeah.
They're going to have to keep him behind the mask. Or else it's not going to be convincing.
Hey, maybe the way... I'm assuming that, like, the way his...
Mm-hmm.
voices and how he talks is going to be completely different.
I think we're going to get European accent RDJ.
Like it's going to be like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people don't like the casting.
But he's amazing as an actor. Well, I know there's many sides to that.
100%.
And one of them is obviously...
And it's all valid.
Because he's not Romani, which is fair. Like the character, and it's another Scarlet Witch circumstance. So that's a big part of the fandom. And also, it's RDJ. So it's like, oh, well, we had him already. Not that it's RDJ and like, oh, he sucks. It's just that, he was Tony Stark.
Yes.
So it's kind of
So it's going to be interesting how, like, this comes together.
Yeah. And I'm curious. And Sue did not look very happy.
They're like, who's this?
Yeah, she's like, stay away from my child.
But now, like, I wonder, because obviously it's still the same universe.
Yeah.
Obviously, she knows that.
Yeah.
I wonder if she knows that Victor has become Doom, you know?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah. And she's probably like, who is this? Yeah. Or like, is she thinking like, oh, who is that? Or is that, oh, Victor? Yeah. Like, you know? So it's like,
is there some familiarity already?
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened in those 4 years, so.
Yes. So,
and so that would be 8 years total since their space mission. And yes. So a lot could have happened in between.
I'm excited for Doomsday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm obviously people are like, what could it possibly be about? But it's like, maybe that's good. Like, maybe it's good that we don't know.
No, I know. I agree. There's so much playing field.
Like, it's...
And Anthony Mackie was quoted recently, if not like today or last week in this case, that they asked how the progress of the film is. Like, oh, you're probably almost done. He's like, oh, no. We're like maybe halfway. Maybe. And that's crazy because it's like, oh, okay.
I think they're filming parallel with they're doing an Infinity War Endgame.
I know they're not
saying it, but like, I feel like
because like Sebastian's off in Italy, and then Flo is filming Devil Wears Prada 2, so everyone's like confused, like wait, and it's they're just
like everyone's shooting schedules is, you know, so I feel crazy, like they're filming coincidingly, like how they did,
the two films,
but
yeah,
but. You know, it's the Russo brothers. They still gave us, you know, they gave us they gave us Winter Soldier. They gave us Infinity War, Endgame, Civil. You know, so it's like them. I mean, you kind of just have
as
to trust it.
As confusing as Cherry was at times, I trust them. Yeah, I think it'll pay off. And again, part of it is just not falling into the black hole. Speaking of fandom chit chat.
Yeah,
you know,
like
you
don't
can't do it.
Like I said, just don't go into it with any preconceived notions.
Yeah.
Take it as it is.
Yeah. Yep, you said it. Robert Downey Jr., uncredited. No credits for you, RDJ. But he's in it. It is him.
Yeah.
That's great.
touching on the topic of Franklin.
Yes.
I was like, explain. So I was talking to like my boss and some coworkers. They were talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Franklin Richards. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I had to do my own research. And I was like, okay, like, who is Franklin Richards? Mm-hmm. And I read his Marvel Wiki and, you know, my comic lore. I was like, this is the scariest character, like, ever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I see why Galactus wants him. And I see why Doom wants him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy can create realities and universes. That's freaking scary.
Speaking of related but not related, did you see that post I sent you about Marvel is gonna like pay somebody $10,000 to come up with why the Kangs were
killed?
I mean, there's your answer. Franklin Richards got bored and went.
Pretty much.
All the Kangs went away.
I think that's the one of the piece of the lore that I read, and I was just like, oh yeah, like he sneezed or whatever, and he destroyed. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like that's what, so there's always people, there's always cosmic beings watching him.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes.
Who is this? And I was like, then I brought myself back to MCU of like, oh, Reed and Sue don't even have a clue what this kid can do.
Because it's untraceable, right? Because it's the factors of cosmic rays from two hyper intelligent human beings affected by said cosmic rays.
Yes.
And then the added element of just genetics and evolution, speaking of, come together and make this like omnipotent individual mutant / cosmic.
Yeah, I can't lie. When I was reading his comic lore, I was like,
yeah.
This guy's just gonna side is he gonna be on? Who's he gonna help?
He stays little for quite a long time.
Got it. Okay.
So, but the, you know, depending on which way they go, and if they introduce his little sister into the mix, and she's a whole other element of like chaos.
This
of
man
Doom,
is just gonna create create incursions.
He might do both. To be honest, I think he might do both.
Like him and like are him and America Chavez best friend? You know what I'm, like what?
They're focusing on the
it's literally endless possibilities, and so you gotta just be like, all right, well, let's see.
It's crazy
because now I'm like, oh, now we definitely have the most powerful being in the MCU. Mm-hmm. People are saying like, oh, I think Thanos can beat this, or Captain Marvel can beat, oh, Scarlet Witch can. I was like, no, I think Franklin Richards is gonna beat everybody.
No, it's Yeah, you're accurate. That's true. It's very true.
No, I read his lore. No, I was I was like,
that's why the show exists, Jeff.
I was like, what the hell?
Isn't it crazy?
He's like, oh, Galactus wanted him because, like, pretty much that's like a pretty accurate of Galactus wanting Franklin to be his successor.
Sure.
And then I got to the Doom part of it, and I was like, oh. I was like, okay.
That's so great.
And then, the sneezing thing, that's a legit, lore.
Yeah.
He sneezed and he accidentally wiped out a universe. I was like, oh my God. No.
Isn't that crazy?
How does he exist between? And it's like,
he
is literally the Big Bang.
Yeah.
At the snap of his fingers.
That's a great way of saying it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you depict that in live action MCU?
Well, that's the thing. They can't make him too OP, but they have to make him OP enough that they establish that he truly is this being, this Nexus being.
I think now that I'm thinking about it, reading that lore, knowing who Franklin is, Feige's interview of saying a little Marvel reset. He hates the word reboot, but he likes the word reset.
It's a sneeze.
It's
a snap and then a sneeze.
Like if there's a way to merge all the proper MCU characters into 616.
Yeah.
I mean,
there it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
God, he's so stupid.
Well, that even.
That's such a dumb hero. I complain every time about every
OP.
They all have the same power, telekinesis, but I'm like, "Oh no, Franklin is like the keeper of the universe if he wanted to."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Well, so I'm curious what, and if that's the resolve of this is how Galactus comes back, or like what that convergence looks like. That's the one that I'm like, I need to know.
Yes.
I need to know. I need to understand what's going to happen next, because I'm so curious. Because Galactus wanted him to take him to be his successor and take
when
over.
When does Franklin realize he's this cosmic being?
Probably, he already
when
has,
does Reed and Sue realize our kid is way more powerful than we thought he could be?
It takes a little time for them.
You know? I think it's even beyond what science that Reed can understand, which is so scary.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And also it's so funny that I don't know who plays the young version of Franklin, but the baby version is Ada Scott, and she was so cute.
For who?
For Franklin. It was a girl.
Oh, okay.
The baby one was the girl. Oh, okay. I don't know about the younger version.
Like the 4-year-old?
Yeah, I don't think he's credited. But I just love that child.
I wonder who plays.
It's gonna be nuts.
I wonder who plays preteen teenager. Franklin. You know.
When we're gonna see something like it eventually. I again love this movie. I thought it was fantastic. God dang it, I said it again. it was everything I could have hoped it to be, and I went in with just very limited expectations. I was I'm just going to go in and enjoy it.
You're one of God's strongest soldiers, not watching clips. And
yeah, dude, I made it. And it didn't affect me at all. It didn't affect me at all. And I was like, woo, got to enjoy every second. I love Sue Storm. I love her so much.
I love her even more.
She's
now.
She's so great.
She's great.
All four of them. I really do. They unified the MCU again, bringing back that family element. I really loved it.
Marvel's first family, and it's a great family that has I don't know if you saw that, you probably didn't read that one interview, but I think Feige said it where he's like, the Baxter building, there was maybe in the first steps movie, there was five of them in the movie, five of them in the building, being the four, maybe it was moment, whatever. And then he was like, in Doomsday you see a lot of good amount of other people inside the Baxter building.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of crazy.
Hmm.
So.
Curious.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The canvas
we're gonna
is
see,
so big.
I think just seeing all these different characters interact in their different universes, maybe, possibly.
Yeah. Convergence is going to happen.
We don't know what. Do we know what Earth, what universe Monica Rambeau's in? Did we ever get a confirmation of actual Earth on it, or whatever it was.
I saw it somewhere.
Okay, I forget. Oh, is it 1090? Is that the same one as Deadpool? 9599999 9599 8899 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 9599 visual, like a screenshot of it, but yeah, like yeah. Obviously she's in that universe, which we know is an X-Men universe.
Yeah,
that, you know, has Photon and Kelsey Grammer Beast.
10005.
Oh yes, and 10999 is Deadpool. I think.
Yeah. So. We'll see. Yeah.
I think, like, who knows? I'm just excited to see all those actors pop up in. God, it's gonna be crazy. And that's not even, like, the half of it, probably.
Mm-mm.
So.
Well, and, you know, not to end it on a sour note, but it is interesting that Feige was like, yeah, some of those characters we introduced you to aren't coming back. Just like, well, you know, could have figured that much, buddy.
Like I said, I think it's also, as much as Deadpool and Wolverine was a... like a love letter also to the Fox universe. Yeah. I think Doomsday is also just like, you know what? This is it.
We got to fix like, some stuff.
Let's do it. Like, let's do a hard reset.
Yeah.
And
they have to.
It's going to be probably the last time some of these actors play those respective Fox characters.
Yeah.
And that's 100%. Okay.
That's fine.
Like, just
give them a swan song. It's cool, man.
Like,
it's
we're good.
It's time. For sure.
And there's no better way to do it.
Yeah.
Now we know with all those articles that we talked about in the last episode of like, look, let's just do this right.
Yeah.
I know we pumped out a lot of content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now we're in a better place to.
And they also just have to move on for people who are new to it.
Yeah.
Like, because there's kind of generations of people who didn't grow up with any of that stuff.
Yes.
And so they're just like. Who are these people?
Yes.
And they only know them because of communities and fandoms, and so
yes,
it's also for them,
yeah,
so that they can enjoy everything. Like if they just jumped on with Captain America or Thunderbolts or even Fantastic Four,
yeah,
that this point on feels like new and refreshing, and it doesn't have to feel like we're still clinging to 2000 through these movies,
because yes,
yeah, it's officially a quarter century.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's 25 crazy. Years old. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's just time. And so I hope they make the wise decisions that make sense and do it in a way that
yes,
yeah, that isn't going to be like, again, like I said, I've said yes, this a few times, that as much as I love Deadpool and Wolverine, it's overall yes, the film is a mess, but it's a good mess. And it's fan service mess, but
yes,
hopefully Doomsday will be a little tighter.
Yeah, and then it has like a resolution
yes,
that
exactly,
obviously will lead to Secret Wars,
that
probably
makes
but
sense, yeah. Yeah.
We'll get like a nice concrete ending to some characters, new beginnings to some characters, but yes, I'm excited. Fantastic Four is amazing.
Yes.
yes.
Loved it. Great. Good times. Good times. If you haven't yet, for some reason, not seen the film, please go out and see it. It's in theaters still and should be for at least another month and a half or two.
Watch it in IMAX.
Watch it in IMAX. I'm going to watch it. I can't wait to watch it in IMAX. I watched it in 3D and it was like, it didn't seem to do much.
Yeah.
Aside the fact the paneling does change the ratio, which
yeah,
is cool.
Yeah.
Which we didn't talk about, but I mean, I loved that feature. But yeah, I think it stood out most obviously for Galactus, which is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's just the entire thing. I was just like, oh my God, he's destroying New York. Oh my God. Look at his back gears. And he's like pulling himself. I was just like, dude, this is so nuts.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see it in IMAX and just be blown away all over again. So definitely go see it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the film. Yeah. And so all that said, any last thoughts on Fantastic Four?
On Fantastic Four.
Four.
Great movie.
Yes.
But I guess also before we wrap, Spider-Man Brand New Day started filming.
Oh.
I'll tell you that.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I saw the picture that Daniel's
assistant
posted.
The little
I just saw that literally before you got here.
The little like comic book cover, like
book
inspiration
cover,
maybe. Maybe that they're like adapting from.
No, they said it was confirmed that Kevin Feige was even like, yeah, they're gonna do some homages to comic book covers in this film, like
that's
no
right,
less than like 3 or 30. I don't remember which number.
They're filming on site in New York because There's like sets.
Oh, I wonder if they're gonna do them both at the same time, Punisher and Brand New Day.
And Tom Holland did post something on his Instagram.
Did he?
He just posted a story saying secret shoot, and he's just getting his hair done. But you're like, I don't want.
Tom.
People are saying that, like, ooh, what if he makes an appearance in the special presentation? And I was like, I don't know if he technically can, because that's technically a TV thing, so I don't know.
I got really excited for a second.
I know. You're like, oh, yeah, right. I don't know.
Laws.
But
rules,
they are
rights.
Starting to film.
Yeah. Crazy.
They're closing down New York Street. Like, this street will be closed for like 5 days for filming.
It's happening, Buck. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So he has The Odyssey coming out next year.
Yeah.
They both have The Odyssey coming out next year and Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's going to be the Tom Holland and
John Bernthal. Johnny B. Oh, and then Daredevil Season 2.
And then Daredevil Season 2. And then Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, right? So, I mean, not that they're in it, but... Exactly. So it's gonna be a great continuing Marvel fan.
A new, better era of Marvel is coming.
Tell it to Sony.
Except Sony.
Sony.
They keep delaying Spider-Verse. So.
Well, we'll have Noir eventually. Streaming on MGM Plus.
I'm not getting it.
I will, because I'm a simp. But yeah, very excited. Oh, can't believe it's already filming. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So many things are happening.
Yes.
Can't believe it. The Fantastic Four are here.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe this. I can't believe San Diego happened. I can't believe Fantastic
it's
Four
a lot.
Is
a lot.
Dropped.
A lot has happened.
This is so nuts to me. It's so much. But it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
So, all that said, thanks for listening to our Fantastic Four semi-review. Definitely go out, see the film, like we said.
Please.
And next up on the show. So, we're going to get back on track and return to our character study. And cover Riri Williams.
Yes.
Talk about Ironheart.
We promise we will this time.
We will do it. Because after that, it is Fantastic Four land.
Maybe. Yes.
We're going to cover each and every one of these characters.
Yes.
Including Galactus and Silver Surfer.
Yes.
So, and maybe Franklin?
If you want to, like I said, if you want to.
I was thinking about it today.
Even when I was reading, I was like, oh my God, this is a lot.
I was thinking about it today and I was like, well, Galactus is going to be. And then I was like,
Franklin.
Wait, Franklin's going to be worse. So, but if I can do Logan, I can do Franklin. So, we just got to suck it up and do the research.
We'll get
and
there
read
when
the
we get We'll get there
yeah,
when
we'll,
we get there.
We'll get there. So, we're going to start out light. And then, you know, if you're on social, tell us who you want us to cover first. Because there's a lot to choose from
there's
when it comes
lot.
To Fantastic Four. But so hit us up on social. And with all that said, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening or watching.
Yes.
And a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. And a We Are Groot salute to Katie, Laura, Ashley, Edgar, Ed, Nats, Ariel, Sherry, Joe, Liz, Robin, Chris, Melanie, Andrew, Andrea, Tyler, and Jenny. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. You can also unlock an ad-free version of this episode of the podcast. Isn't that weird to
that's
say?
Wow, that's weird. Like, that was actually weird to like say that.
Yeah. No, I have to say that. By supporting us on Patreon, like these lovely We Are Groot Salute supporters have done. And if you like what you hear, be sure to review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening and watching.
And watching.
We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
John, answer this.
Are we safe?
Are we safe?
Yeah.
I don't know.